The Treasury Salute, starring Joseph Cotton, in a specially transcribed drama, The Dream of Home. Now, the Treasury Salute, The Dream of Home.
Have you ever heard about the private life of a private? Maybe you'd like to know about mine, PFC Tom Acton, U.S. Army. Now serving from a bed in Walter Reed General Hospital, Washington, D.C. I'd especially like to tell you about my dreams. When a man spends all of his time in bed, he gets to be pretty good at dreaming. Not daydreams, like having Lana Turner crazy with love for you, or owning a gold mine in Canada. No. Now, the kind of dreams I mean are about the things you've done, the people you've known, the things you want to remember, and the things you can't forget. I remember a poem once that said something like, of such stuff as dreams are made. That's a pretty free translation, but it's the story of how I've been living for a whole year, with my leg hanging up over me like a piece of wet wash on a clothesline, remembering how I got here and how it all started. It gives me something to do. Like that morning in June when the mailman brought me that long, official-looking envelope. I was kind of expecting it. So I beat my wife Mary to the front door.
Anything for me, darling?
No, not this morning, honey, but I'll wait a couple of weeks and you'll be getting a letter every day.
Tom, what's that paper in your hand?
Oh, just a greeting card from a neighbor.
When do you have to go?
June 12th.
Not much time, is it?
Well, guess I'll be able to break in one of the boys down at the fire station, all right?
You'll miss the bus, Tom. You'd better hurry.
Hey, come here, you. Where's that goodbye kiss?
Goodbye, darling.
I had to disappoint my little boy, Timmy. He wanted me to join the Navy. I tried to tell that to the lieutenant down at the induction center, but he thought khaki was more my color. From Dayton, the old hometown, I started traveling. First stop, Camp Hood, Texas.
Congratulations, men. You're in the infantry. As of this minute, you're all going back to school. The school of the soldier.
Welcome to Fort Meade. A lot of good men have gone through here. Let's see how you stack up.
Keep those barracks bags pretty well filled, men. They don't keep you around long here at Fort Standish.
What's on your mind, Acton?
Well, Sergeant, today's December 21st, and I was just thinking...
I look at the calendar now and then, Acton. I know what day it is.
You see, Sergeant, it's my birthday, and I thought if I could get home on a pass, I...
Many happy returns, Acton. Sorry I can't let you go, but I've got a birthday present for you.
Like what?
We've been alerted. We're shipping over tonight.
Hey, Tom, how do you spell the name of that city again?
A-A-C-H-E-N, Aachen. In case you forget it, take a look at that signpost up ahead when we crawl past it.
I can't understand German writing. Looks like the alphabet standing on its side.
When's the sergeant coming up here, Mike?
He's checking with the captain now. I think they're giving orders for us to take Berlin.
Well, the way we've been moving, I wouldn't be surprised. Southampton, Lav, now Aachen.
Yeah? I guess they want to get the war over with quick.
Hey, Acton, give me a hand.
There's threes a crowd in this hole, Sergeant.
Now, listen, you guys, get it straight. I don't have much time. You two are to hold this line with machine guns.
Aye.
The rest of the platoon is spread out with you. They're pulling two companies of infantry out. You're to cover them when they move back. You're under direct observation, so don't fire unless there's a counterattack. Good luck.
But there wasn't enough good luck to go around. Right after we moved into a hole with two other men, an airburst got us. Final score, 2 dead, 2 badly wounded. The fire stayed pretty heavy, and it was 45 minutes before the medics could get hold of a half track to remove us. They gave me emergency first aid at the station, but there wasn't much they could do. My leg was badly broken, and I was bleeding from several body wounds. I got a couple of shots to put me out. When I came to, I heard the doctor say,
"Take it easy, soldier. This is the 13th Field Hospital at Eiweiler, Belgium."
I looked around the room. This was no dream. It was a nightmare. There must have been 100 guys in that room, each one in critical condition. I looked up at the doctor who was getting ready to operate on me. He was a major. I was getting the best.
"I'm going to let you do some dreaming, soldier. This anesthetic will help you along."
I was tired. I wanted to sleep. I wanted to shut out the moaning and pain that was all around me.
"I'll pick out a good dream, soldier. You'll have plenty of time with it."
Mm. I breathed in the strong smell of the anesthetic, and I dreamed of a time before the war, of a little picnic ground outside Dayton, and of a beautiful girl named Mary.
"No, Tom, please. I can't eat anymore."
"Oh, come on, Mary. Steak's good for you."
"Here, you eat mine."
"Okay. Say, whoever invented this barbecue food should have taken out a patent on it."
"When I marry, I'm going to have my husband build a barbecue stove in the backyard."
"I'm pretty handy with a hammer and saw, Mary."
"Are you, Tom?"
"Uh-huh. I'm pretty good at putting bricks together, too."
"Well, I can cook."
"Here, Mary, have another sandwich."
"Okay, soldier, you're going to keep yourself in one piece."
The major was leaning down over me, looking into my face. I got another look at his collar. Leaf wasn't gold anymore, it was silver.
"I must have done a good job on you, soldier. They just made me a lieutenant colonel."
Those days getting out of Europe, more half dead than alive. Not the kind of things I like to dream about. But you just don't forget them and pull a curtain down in your mind. You go on, hoping for better things, watching the doctors examine your foot, always looking forward to getting away someday. Because when you get through dreaming of the past, you turn to the future. That's the ticket. That's the thing that keeps you going.
"I'm Sergeant Adams, Acton. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes, if you don't mind."
"Sure thing. Pull over a bed."
"They have me classified as a personnel counselor, so I walk around, talk to guys, try to help them figure out what they'd like to do most when they get discharged."
"You sure you want to talk to me?"
"Of course. Why not, Acton?"
"You said guys who are getting out."
"You think it's a myth, but you're going to get discharged as soon as that leg of yours is let out of traction."
"Say, you can help me try to decide what kind of job to take?"
"That's right. I see by your record you were with the Dayton Fire Department just before you went in the service."
"Well, I was with the department for 2 years."
"Going back to it?"
"Well, I don't know, Sergeant. I kind of hoped I'd be able to go back to school for a while."
"Well, that's a swell idea. The GI Bill of Rights will cover that. But have you got any idea what you'd like to study?"
"Well, for a long time I've been thinking of being either a lawyer or
Go ahead. I'm listening."
"Well, a tree surgeon."
"Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll see if I can't dig up some catalogs on them for you."
"Maybe a college around Dayton. I'm not sure that I'm going to enroll, but I'd like to take a look at those catalogs anyway."
"And if you don't enroll?"
"Well, always did like chasing fires." That's the first sign in the road that you're getting there. They talk to you about leaving the hospital. But you don't measure your progress by days or by weeks. You're counted by the changing of the months outside your window. The dreams of last year get a little hazy now. Your induction, basic training, shipping out, your first combat, getting hit. All of it goes deeper out of sight. They've put a bug in your brain and it shoves everything else aside. They've talked about the future. About the day they'll unroll the miles of bandage from your leg and let you walk again. That's the thing you dream about now. Priority number one. Getting the feel of a floor against your feet. Seems like a simple thing, but it's the only dream you've ever really wanted. To stand up. To walk.
We're going to take some x-rays, Acton.
Sure. Go ahead, Captain. Take all you like.
I know it isn't pleasant keeping your leg hoisted up like that, but ever since that bone extraction, we've had no choice.
I understand, Captain. Can we get on with the x-rays?
Don't expect too much, Acton. Shattered bones don't mend in a matter of weeks.
You're telling me.
These pictures will tell us how the leg's knitting and how long it'll take.
That's all I ask, Captain. How long? How long?
Take it easy, Acton. They'll have the results in a few minutes.
What do you mean, take it easy? I've been lying in Army hospitals for a year now, Adams. What the captain sees in those plates may end all of that, may let me out.
They made quite a few retakes, Acton. Give them time.
Seems like they've been in that room for hours.
Oh, here comes the captain now. Hold tight, soldier.
I finished reading the plates, Acton.
Captain, what's the score?
The bone is healing, but not as quickly as I'd have liked.
Oh. Well, when will I be well enough to leave, Captain?
You'll have to remain here for at least one more year.
Well, anyway, got a mark to shoot at now. Sergeant Adams got hold of some college catalogs from me, and I've even been taking a correspondence course in Municipal Fire Administration. Considering everything, I guess I get a lot done each day. I'll be 28 when I finally reach Dayton again. I'll have a long way to go with Mary and my little boy Tommy. So, I keep my eye fixed on that calendar. Kid the captain into looking at my foot once in a while extra. And hold on to the best of all my dreams. The greatest of them all. The dream of home.
Although many of our veterans have returned home, there are still many to be brought back from overseas. We must never forget that it cost just as much to bring them back home as it did to send them over, and that was plenty. Our money invested in United States government savings bonds earns generous interest and will be invested in the safest investment there is. Of course, no one can foresee the future, but you and I can do a lot to make certain that our own financial future will be rosy and worthwhile. We can do that by putting a regular percentage of our earnings aside and investing in United States savings bonds. 10 years from now, every $3 so invested will bring you $4. So by all means, invest every extra dollar you can in United States savings bonds and provide for your own future. The United States Treasury thanks Joseph Cotton, Gene Cagney, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Alvin Boritz and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is George Putnam speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They are an investment in the future, your country's future, and your future.